I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, America has a serious and severe problem with misogyny. It's not everywhere, but it's an awful lot of places. And it seems to be very well entrenched within the Republican Party, and most especially within the White House. The basic takeaway when you look at the Republican Party is that they don't like women very much, if at all. But really, you look at the Republican Party now, and what do they represent? They represent rich white men. That's pretty much it. And ladies, you ain't a rich white man. Although this is America, you can get rich and then have a sex change operation, at least for now. Then maybe Trump would like you. Oops, no, that's not going to work. Because he also hates transgendered people. That's why he's trying to keep them out of the military. And has fought so hard to keep them just from being able to go pee. That's some serious hate. So I guess you're totally screwed. The Republican Party does not and probably never will like you. And they seem to be very, very dedicated to doing things that will specifically hurt you and cause you harm. But of everyone in the Republican Party who doesn't like women, nobody stands head and shoulders taller than Donald Trump. And the feeling is mutual. The latest polling coming from January 28th shows that there is a 26-point gender gap in Trump's unfavorability rating. In other words, 26% more women dislike him than men. That is a huge, gigantic gender gap, and it's unlikely to change at any time. Now, this might have something to do with Trump overseeing the rapiest administration in history, or the fact that he has worked so hard to take away women's rights to reproductive health care. And these issues are the same for Trump as for the Republican Party as a whole. But it doesn't help the Republican Party that, as a whole bunch of women, historic levels of women coming into the House, very few of them Republican, because they actually lost women representatives. But as these record number of women come in, Republicans are hitting them pretty hard and dirty. Now, true, some of these are women of color, so it's hard to know whether their motivation is misogynistic or racist. And of course, the Republican Party is sort of all in on the lying now. That's sort of their go-to move. So the original tweet that went out was about Muslim representative from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, and here's the tweet. Representative Omar, lots of Americans agree with me that Trump is blackmailing Senator Graham over his homosexuality. Tons of people on the right ran with that tweet. Well, she actually didn't. She said that she wondered what the Russians had on Graham, and surmised, as most of us do, that they have something on him, and that's why he's suddenly changed colors and become such a Trump sycophant. That's not actually what she said. She has called Trump a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot, which, you know, he is. But she never said that Graham was gay, although I'm amongst the many, many people who believe that's probably the reason that they've got some kind of compromat on him that has to do with the rumors of his homosexuality that have been long out there, and you look at him, and boy, if you have any gaydar at all, it'll certainly go off. Yes, self-hating gay man, probably. So I just said it. He's a self-hating gay man who's probably being blackmailed over his homosexuality by the Russians to betray his country. I just said that. Representative Omar did not. And then they took that lie and ran with it, saying things like, Omar insinuated Graham is gay to undermine him, which is grossly homophobic. Well, since what you're talking about is based on a lie, nothing that you say based on it is true. But they just kept going on and on with it. I don't know that they would have attacked a male representative in this same way, and they certainly wouldn't have attacked a male representative in the way that they have attacked the woman they see as a great threat, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Their attacks against her have been, yes, extremely misogynistic, but also hilariously inept. And she's kind of tough to attack because she's so skilled with social media that she'll come right back at you. And she pretty much knows how to use social media better than almost any other politician, which is why she participated in the talk where they taught other fellow House members about how to use social media. And right at the beginning of this year, Republicans tried to create Dancegate, a controversy steeped in their own misogyny that actually was only a controversy because they tried to make a controversy out of nothing. They found a video of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dancing. She was dancing. And might I add, dancing adorably. It was filmed in 2010 at Boston University, and Google it if you haven't seen it. It's well worth seeing. She was working on her bachelor's in economics and international relations, and she did some dance scenes that were inspired by John Hughes' 1984 film The Breakfast Club, but set to Phoenix's Listomania. This was for a fellow student's film project. I think it actually boosted her popularity, and I can't imagine why you would go after this. It's just stupid. And her response was, "It is unsurprising to me that Republicans would think having fun should be disqualifying or illegal, but I think it is really part of the larger question about who should run and how we should run, and I think it is great. You can be young and run for office. You can have joy in life and run for office." So Republicans found out that dancing in public, not really a scandal for women. And hasn't been in a long, long time. Ocasio-Cortez also has a problem that she is the youngest woman to be elected to the House. And so it's hard to know whether they're giving her a hard time because she's young, or because she's a woman of color, or because she's a woman. But the idiotic Ben Stein went after her immediately, claiming that her policies invariably lead to bad things, including genocide. I think that's about as likely as listening to Ben Stein and actually learning something that's true. Another right-wing attack on Ocasio-Cortez was in a photo they spread around showing her legs and feet soaking in a bathtub. Except, that's not her. They claimed that this was something that she posted, and then in a creepy meme that if you look in the little shiny part in front of the bathtub, you can see her bare breasts reflected. So, kind of a pathetic bit of slut-shaming. But thank God for foot fetishists. They looked at it and said, "Hey, we know feet. That ain't her feet. We've seen her and compared her in open-toed shoes. That ain't her." The foot fetishist even tracked down who the picture actually was of, a woman who goes by the name of Heathers. And then she came out and said, "Well, I'm deeply sorry to hear that internet misogynist used an old photo of mine to try and target her." I mean, yeah, this is creepy, pathetic misogyny, but it's also such weak attacks. And here's a story Republicans are throwing around about someone that we here in California really like a lot, Kamala Harris. And here's the more typical kind of misogynistic story, the one we would expect. Here's, this is from Jim Hoft, his tweet. "Confirmed. Former San Francisco mayor admits Kamala Harris was his extramarital mistress, and he awarded her with 2 state jobs." Technically true. They were dating when he was separated from his wife. So, not really an extramarital mistress. He was kind of, they were separated and they were going to be divorced. And he awarded her with 2 state jobs, ones that she was eminently qualified for, and he helped her in the same way that he has helped Gavin Newsom and Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi and others that he didn't have a relationship with. So they turned that into, she's a mistress and she slept her way to the top. That's the good old-fashioned Republican misogyny I was looking for. The slut-shaming. And an Alabama Republican did that with Senator Kristen Sinema. This attack came from Jim Ziegler, the Republican state auditor, and he complained about her being inappropriately attired. This led to many of his social media followers commenting, saying that she was dressed like an exotic dancer or prostitute. But look, that's the go-to. You talk about women's attire in politics, but you never talk about men's. And of course, there's the recurring complaint, and this is something that the New York Times used to do all the time with Hillary Clinton. It's the idea that women politicians are unlikable and inauthentic. The New York Times really ran with this with Clinton, but it's a Republican go-to, and they're doing that exact same thing to pretty much all of the women candidates. Even Politico did it. They wrote, "In the year of the woman, it adds up to one unwelcome mat for the most prominent woman likely to be part of the 2020 field. But it also represents an unmistakable challenge. how does Elizabeth Warren avoid a Clinton redux written off as too unlikable before her campaign gets off the ground? It's not just Republicans who are misogynistic. We're also learning it's also the press.